So I'm really thankful to be here with Laura Hayes today, and she traveled a long way to come see us.
From California.
So thank you for coming in from California today, Laura.
My pleasure.
And I'm really interested to get your personal story about the way that vaccines have damaged your family, your sons particularly, and learn about some of the myths about vaccines today, because I've heard you speak and you go through lie after lie about the vaccines. So I'll just give you the floor to begin with, and I'd like to know about your 22-year-old son. What happened to him, and how did that get you involved in this vaccine awareness?
Okay, so well, I have three children, and they were born in 1992, 94, and 96, and the one whom you just referred to, Ryan, was born in 1994. He's our middle child, and I wish I could I wish I could turn the clock back in time and go back to when I took my first child in for her first well baby visit at 2 months. So for our daughter, who was born in 1992, at her 2 month appointment, they weighed, measured her, everything looked good. I was starting to pack up her diaper bag to leave when the doctor said, oh wait, her shots. And I literally pulled my baby into me and I said, shots, I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't want her to have any shots today. She doesn't need any shots. She's perfectly fine, as we just discovered. And the doctor, and I truly didn't know what shots she was referring to. So she said, I've got another patient. Let me take you back out to the waiting room. And she gave me a little half sheet of paper, which she had created, that had about three sentences on it that basically told that lie, that vaccines are safe and effective, and that there will be about 1 in 1 million children who suffers an adverse vaccine reaction. And my heart was racing. My maternal instincts were telling me, get up, leave now. Leave.
Right.
But all those years of being trained to be polite kept me sitting in that chair, unfortunately. And she came back out in 15 minutes and literally just grabbed my elbow and said, okay, let's go now. Time to give your daughter her shots. And if I had just left then, followed my maternal instincts, which is what I try to encourage young mothers to do, our family's lives would be so much different. Because once you let that first set in, you kind of stop thinking about it. And that was before the internet, so I couldn't sit there on my iPhone and Google, you know, dangers of vaccines.
Yeah.
And I hadn't read any books yet. If I had read Cynthia Knoyer's book or Dr. Robert Mendelsohn's book, I would have known. I would have felt encouraged to follow my maternal instinct. But I didn't. So she was vaccinated fully through age 5. And then our first son was born 2 years later, Ryan. And his vaccines began, to the best of my knowledge, at age 2 months, although in the hospital he did get the vitamin K shot, which is, again, something that is dangerous. It contains, at least two brands contain aluminum, a slow release over 60 days aluminum. And the vitamin K shot in and of itself has caused deaths. So right then and there, you know, we probably did something to begin damage to his immune system. And he was probably injected with some aluminum, and then he started getting his immunizations at 2 months. And after each set of immunizations, we did notice changes. I just wasn't putting two and two together. After his shots at 2 months, we never heard him cry again. He stopped crying. So up until 2 months, he would cry if he, when he woke up, when he needed to be changed, when he was hungry, like a typical infant. After that, the child went silent, and I thought, wow, I just must have this really easy baby. We would put him in his crib, and we'd go back 3 hours later, and he'd be lying awake staring at the ceiling, but hadn't cried out, like, come get me, like a typical infant would do.
Okay.
So that was should have been our first clue that something was amiss. Other babies will have the exact opposite reaction and will cry nonstop. After his 4 months, vaccines, a little less responsive, took a little more tickling to get a reaction. After his 6 months vaccine, he started laughing hysterically in the middle of the night. My husband and I would be awakened to the sound of giggling, and we would walk in his room, and he would be staring at the ceiling, unaware that we'd walked in, and he would be just laughing hysterically for no reason. And I've heard this from other parents too. I don't know exactly what causes that, but it is a symptom. It is a sign and symptom that your child may end up being diagnosed with autism. At 12 months, we went from having a child who responded to his name to a child who no longer knew his name was Ryan. He stopped responding to his name. Still, I'm not putting all of this together. 15 months, he began after his 15 month shots, repetitive play. So I remember taking a family vacation to Lake Tahoe, and I thought, this is so odd for our toddler. I only need to take one toy. He had a hammer and ball toy, and he literally could play with that all waking hours and just watching that ball roll through. So that wasn't usual. He wasn't pointing. He wasn't following a point, but the pediatrician did not pick that up at his well baby appointments. Okay. And then it was his shots at 18 months that nearly killed him. We came home from that appointment, and I unfortunately followed the doctor's advice to give Tylenol before and after. And he literally, what I call, lay near dead in his crib for 10 days. He was like a lifeless rag doll. He was not interested in waking up, in sleeping, in eating. He was literally probably suffering severe encephalitis, brain swelling at the time. I just did not know it. And I did indeed do what every good mother does. I called the pediatrician's office every single day for the first 10 days, saying something's not right. He's sick. He's very sick, and he's unresponsive. And each day, I never got passed through to the pediatrician. I was stopped by the guard gate receptionist, who'd clearly been trained by the pediatrician. When someone calls in after a vaccine, don't patch it through to me. Just tell them this is normal. Don't worry about it. On day 10, when I was really getting panicky, the receptionist yelled at me. She raised her voice to me and said, "Mrs. Hayes, do not call this office again. Anything that happens in the first 2 weeks post-vaccination is considered a normal vaccine reaction. We do not want to hear from you again until day 15.
Wow.
So I was yelled at for calling in about having severe concerns about my ragdoll-like child.
What if they die within the first 10 days? Is that normal?
That apparently is normal too. It's called SIDS. Uh-huh. So it's we have a lot of babies being diagnosed with SIDS or shaken baby syndrome when in fact they are dying from the vaccines that were recently administered to them. Mm-hmm. And by age two, we lost all babbling also after those 18-month shots. No more babbling, no language whatsoever. Silent in that arena. Not only did he stop crying at 2 months, but now he wasn't even making any vocal noises. Obsessive, repetitive play. He could literally be left in front of doors, drawers, or cabinets, and he would be happy to open and close them all day long. Not normal play. No pretend play, no language, no interacting with his sister, no acknowledgement when his dad would walk home or walk in the door after work at the end of the day. Oblivious. Obsessed with videos. Obsessed with pushing the eject button over and over so that he could watch the same segment of the video over and over and over again. And that's really all he wanted to do was watch videos. So right around age two, I figured it out on my own with no help from my pediatrician. I woke up one morning, it was a Sunday morning, I'll never forget it, and a neon light in my mind, the word autism. And I just truly believe that was divine intervention. That was the day. I had just had my third child 3.5 weeks prior to that, and I think God wanted me to get through that pregnancy before the bombshell and hit that there was something really wrong with our two-year-old. And so he was subsequently diagnosed with autism, which is a term I hate to use because it is what the medical authorities and government entities and pharmaceutical companies have coined to divert the blame from themselves. It's really encephalopathy that he has. He has brain damage, catastrophic brain damage from his vaccines. He also has immune system damage. He has been tested. He makes antibodies to his myelin basic protein that covers every nerve sheath in your body. So you can imagine if your body's attacking that sheath on every nerve cell, your nervous system is not going to work.
Yeah.
He has GI issues. He has heavy metal toxicity. He has been greatly harmed by routine childhood vaccinations, and I refuse to call them immunizations. Vaccination most certainly does not equal immunization in any sense of the word. So
right.
He's now 22, a boy in a man's body, 6 feet, 4 inches tall, 180 pounds. On a good day, he has the cognitive abilities of a five-year-old. He must be cared for 24/7, 365. While I'm here interviewing with you, a former tutor of his is taking care of him for 2 days. It's not normal to have to hire a babysitter to care for a 22-year-old man, but unfortunately, it's becoming the norm in our country. He still works with tutors 40 hours a week. We do a special behavioral program that helps them to learn new things and maintain that which we've already taught. And he's not able to work. He could not imagine a 4 or 5-year-old holding down a job. It's not going to happen. He's never gone on a date, and he never will. He's not going to get married. He's not going to have children. He's been robbed of leading the life that he would have lived had we not vaccinated him. And it's as a mother, it's painful. If I could have one do-over,
yeah,
one do-over in life, no vaccines for any of my children.
Yeah.
We have two more children, and they did not escape vaccine injury. They are young adults now, so I don't talk publicly about their health, but suffice it to say that they both have endured vaccine injuries, and those are lifelong. You know, when you allow a vaccine to enter your child's body, you have just set off a series of cataclysmic events that is going to manifest itself over the course of your child's lifetime. It might be fever and high-pitched screaming right off the bat. A couple months later, it might be an asthma attack. By age 2, it could be an autism diagnosis. By age 5, it could be a Tourette's diagnosis and gut dysbiosis. Age 10, it could be type 1 diabetes. Could be seizure disorder that manifests itself anytime after a vaccination.
Yeah.
Could be cancer, leukemia in childhood, other cancers later on in life. I truly contend that no one escapes vaccine injury. If you've been vaccinated, you have been harmed. Your immune system has been tainted, and it will never, ever be able to function as it was meant to, and harm has been done.
Well, I sympathize with you, with your regrets. Unfortunately, we don't get any do-overs.
Nope.
But you have made the best of it. And so now you're an advocate for spreading the truth and helping to maybe prevent future moms from
yes.
making the same mistake. So I admire that.
Thank
so let's talk about some of the ways that you've turned this personal tragedy into a positive thing to help others.
Yeah, so for over 2 decades now, or nearly 2 decades, as soon as I did learn about the vaccine connection, which wasn't that hard, when a group of parents whose children all have the diagnosis of autism starts getting together, which we did back in the 90s, you quickly start comparing stories, and lo and behold, you know, you discover your children were harmed by their vaccines. We all have very similar stories. And then you start talking to other people you know. You know, one of her children has type 1 diabetes. We now know that that is linked to vaccines. So you start talking to people and you realize, wow, everyone has these children who require some type of services. They either have some type of a chronic illness or some type of a developmental disability or a permanent disability. And you start thinking, wow, this wasn't like this when I grew up. The nurse's office at school didn't have a lineup of EpiPens and inhalers and prescription drugs and stacks of IEPs and lists of food allergens for the different kids. So when I started putting it all together and realized, wow, Ryan was severely vaccine injured, I thought, I have to get the word out. I can't let this
yeah.
happen to other children. And I was one of many, and we thought, people are going to want to hear this.
Right.
First thing I did, I wrote to the pediatrician who we no longer went to, but the pediatrician who vaccinated him. Wrote her a 5-page letter about all that had transpired, including not being able to get through to her when our son nearly was killed by his vaccines. And then I called to follow up to make sure she'd received the letter. And I said, you know, what makes you so confident that these vaccines that you're giving day in and day out are safe, that they're not harming kids? And she said, and I quote, she had a one sentence answer for me. This was pretty much the end of our phone call. She said, because the pharmaceutical reps tell me they're safe. So, you know, the very people who are profiting from these products are the ones claiming their safety. They're also the ones who are allowed to do their own studies and tell the FDA, another safe vaccine, we want you to approve it.
Right.
So I write articles a lot, as often as time permits. A lot of them are published on the Age of Autism blog. I speak at rallies whenever we have new tyrannical vaccine legislation introduced in the state of California and even at the national level. I write articles for the Age of Autism blog, trying to raise awareness and for more than even educate other parents, warn them. I'm trying to sound a huge warning bell. Don't let this happen
right.
to your children. Do not allow anyone to put poison into your child, directly into their bloodstreams and muscle tissues, into a closed system
yeah.
where those toxic, poisonous, immune system damaging ingredients will now be trapped
yeah.
and will find their way to your child's brain, organs, and be there for life, manifesting damage throughout your child's lifetime. I also speak at rallies.
Yeah, I saw you speaking at the SB 277 rally.
Yes, I spoke twice, two different times, opposing SB 277, a fascist law, if ever there was one. But it was very clear to us who are fighting that battle that the legislators' votes had been bought and paid for in advance. They would not meet with us. At best, we would get a low-level staffer. Mm-hmm. Would not meet with us, did not read what we sent. The vote had already been decided. Jeffrey Jackson did an
mm-hmm. article on that, if you read that. And apparently, Senator Pan was taking his marching orders from a couple of pharmaceutical lobbyists.
Absolutely, and actually, you know, you could take it back a few years to AB 2109, which was, at that time, they wanted to do an SB 277 at that time in 2010, 2011, but I think they didn't feel it was quite the right time that they could win at that point. So they watered it down to AB 2109, where parents had to get a specified healthcare practitioner to sign their personal belief exemption, which is the same then as a medical exemption. When you have to go through a third party, a doctor, to sign off on exercising your rights, that's a form of a medical exemption. And truly, let's be honest, not only should there not be vaccine mandates, medicine should never be mandated, but we should not have to beg, plead, and pay to exempt out of these forced medical procedures.
Right. So if you have to get a doctor to approve an exemption, doesn't that violate our constitutional right to choose what is best for ourselves?
Absolutely. The Constitution guarantees us a few things. Number one, it guarantees us the right to direct the upbringing of our children as we see fit. It also protects our religious freedom, First Amendment, and this is a grotesque violation of religious freedom. I have come to the very firm knowledge after 20 years of studying that vaccination is an abomination to God, that it violates my religious beliefs on so many levels. We're instructed in the Bible not to harm or sacrifice our children, and unfortunately I unknowingly did that on the altar of vaccination. But I know better now, and I try to warn others, and there's no way that it doesn't violate many people's religious freedom to be forced to inject up to 70 times in an ever-growing list poisons, neurotoxins, carcinogens, things that impair fertility. There's no way, aborted fetal tissue material, there's no way that does not violate the religious beliefs of many people, not to mention their non-religious beliefs, just their personal beliefs, their good sense, their common sense, their intelligence, their parental instincts.
Yeah.
It's insane that we are being forced to poison our own children.
Yeah.
We're destroying our children. We've never had such sick children. At last count, and this is now a year's old statistic, 54% of the children in America are either chronically ill and or developmentally disabled. Yeah. Folks, that is not normal.
No.
Children are supposed to be in the prime of their lives, thriving, healthy, not plagued with chronic health issues, not plagued with breathing issues in the form of asthma or allergies,
yeah.
not suffering seizures. Last stat out just a few months ago in the San Francisco Chronicle, 1 in 20 American children now has a seizure disorder. That is not normal.
Yeah.
It's not normal for children not to talk. We now have a huge percentage of children in the United States with the misnomer autism versus vaccine-induced brain damage who don't talk. One-third plus of those diagnosed with autism will be nonverbal their entire lives. It's not normal for children not to talk. You and I met briefly this morning, and you and I discussed that prior to the late 80s and early 90s, all children talked. You know, with a rare, rare exception, all children spoke, even if they had mental retardation or Down syndrome. But then we started having this generation of children who didn't talk, and that should have sounded such a huge alarm bell. But it didn't. That goes back to the 1986 Act, indemnifying those pharmaceutical companies who make vaccines and those who administer vaccines at a time in our nation's history when we should have had an immediate moratorium on all vaccinations. If vaccine-making pharmaceutical companies were pulling out of the business because they were losing so many multi-million dollar lawsuits due to the harm and deaths that their vaccine products were causing, it seems very prudent that we should stop all vaccinations
yeah.
until we got to the bottom of that. But unbelievably, Congress, instead of having an immediate moratorium on all vaccinations, indemnified and removed all liability from the vaccine-making pharmaceutical companies and those who administer vaccines, removing all incentive to make a safe product. Not that I think there can be a safe vaccine, but in theory, removes all incentive to make a safe product. Right. No accountability, it's a blank check. And they took advantage of that. Within 3 short years, the vaccine schedule had pretty much tripled. So my son Ryan and our daughter got a minimum of 237.5 micrograms of neurotoxic mercury. There's no safe level of mercury for any human being, but 237.5 micrograms is off the charts. At my son's 2-month appointment alone, he got 500 times the EPA safe limit. So 250 times the EPA's safe limit for ingested methyl mercury, and you can double that for injected ethyl mercury. So to me, that's like saying, you know, there is no safe level. So that's like the same as giving him an alcoholic drink at 2 months, no safe level for that either. But instead giving him 500 alcoholic beverages. You know, he was given 500 times one of the most toxic substances on the planet. And as I mentioned, he'd already had some aluminum, probably slow release aluminum circulating in his body still. Yeah. And there's aluminum in many vaccines. It's the adjuvant. Yeah. So when they use an inactivated vaccine, meaning a non-live virus vaccine, they add an adjuvant to purposefully, artificially overstimulate the immune system and cause inflammation, trying to get a reaction. So we now know the horrors of aluminum. There's a new study published almost daily about how dangerous aluminum is. And when you give aluminum at the same time as mercury, there's a synergistically neurotoxic effect. Aluminum greatly enhances the neurotoxicity of mercury, plus it's neurotoxic on its own. So as I like to say to parents, you wouldn't allow the ingredients that are in those vials of vaccines to be put in your baby's bottle and let them consume them that way. You would have a conniption. You know, you're seeking out glass bottles, and
if you allowed it, you'd be thrown in jail.
You'd be thrown in jail. If I babysat your child and I put all those ingredients or just empty the vaccine vials into your baby's bottle and fed them that, you would probably beat me up, but you'd for sure have me thrown in jail.
Yeah.
And I would go to jail for doing such a thing. Your baby, ironically, would actually have a small chance of clearing quite a bit of that out through their digestive tract. But these same parents who would never allow their children to ingest those vaccine ingredients are allowing someone in whom they have put their blind trust, someone in a white coat, to inject those same ingredients, inject into their baby, multiple shots at one time. We're up to some office appointments now involve 8 syringes with 13 to 14 vaccines. Just that a doctor would do that. There's no medicine that a doctor would hopefully give 14 medicines at once, and your baby would never in the real world contract 14 diseases at once.
I just saw an article recently about a baby that did receive 8 vaccines in one day, and he died.
Yep.
And they say that
I bet it was a coincidence.
That's what they said. It was coincidental. It had nothing to do with the vaccines.
Well, you know what I say to that? Vaccines, the leading cause of coincidences in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there's an awful lot of coincidences going on. SIDS, shaken baby syndrome, seizure disorder, autism, kids can't speak anymore. They've got type 1 diabetes. Childhood cancer has just, you know, I know cancer is a very personally important subject to you. And when I grew up, I knew of one person in my 18 years of growing up in Phoenix that had cancer. And now you cannot go to a hospital and not see a children's oncology unit. That is not normal for children to have cancer. So yes, I know we have a lot of toxic things that have unfortunately been approved by our criminal government. We've got fluoride in the water. We've got pesticides on the food that we are consuming. We have genetically modified foods that have been proven to cause cancer. And we've got the vaccine. So that any child is even surviving in this day and age of being poisoned now in utero with the pregnancy vaccines, it's miraculous
it's a miracle,
that any
isn't it? Yeah.
is surviving, but as I've said before, they're not surviving well. As I said, they are chronically ill, they're developmentally disabled, and they're just not normal. You know, flying here, just watching children, I'm kind of fixated on watching children at the airport. And the language is so far behind. When you listen to these kids that you can clearly tell are 4, 5, 6, their behavior is not normal, their language is not up to par, they have unusual behaviors. It's so apparent, and that school administrators aren't speaking out more really bothers me too, because they see the increase in the number of special ed teachers and special education classrooms and number of nurses needed per district now. There used to be one nurse that would travel around the district. Now each school seems to need one or two nurses just to be responsible for administering drugs throughout the day or being there for medical emergencies.
Sickness and illness and drugs have become the new normal.
They are the new normal, and the pharmaceutical companies are laughing all the way to the bank. They want people somewhere between sick and dead, because that is how they make their profits, and they are succeeding greatly.
In Nazi Germany, Joseph Mengele, he was tried for crimes against humanity, for experimentation on prisoners, amongst many other things.
Yes.
How does this equate?
Well, it's my firm belief that at this point in time, with all of the knowledge that is out there, we now know how toxic the ingredients in vaccines are. We know that there's never been a proper safety study done on any vaccine, much less in the myriad combinations in which they're given, much less on the recommended schedule as a whole, both short and long term. We've never had that comparison study of a group of unvaccinated controls studied against vaccinated children. We know that the studies that are put forth by the government and pharmaceutical companies are rife with fraud. So knowing all of these things, and Jen, again, just using your basic science knowledge from seventh grade and looking at the list of ingredients, knowing that they should not be injected into any human being, any doctor who is still administering vaccines, in my opinion, is willfully ignorant, arrogant, and or corrupt, and truly every vaccination that they are giving, I believe, is medical assault. Okay? There's no one of any age, fetus, newborn, infant, toddler, young child, preteen, teenager, young adult, elderly adult, no one who should have this stuff injected into them. It's not the natural way that we contract illness. The natural way is through our nasal passages, respiratory tract, and digestive tracts. And our body is not equipped to have those toxins and those random human and animal viruses and retroviruses and carcinogens and truly goodness knows what else, because they're not even required to list all of the ingredients. Goodness knows what else, the food proteins that are causing all the food allergies. No one should have that stuff injected into them. So I do believe that every vaccination at this point in time is medical assault. It is medical experimentation. As I said, not one of these has ever been tested using the scientific gold standard, that of a double-blind, placebo-controlled study.
Right.
They are tested against, a vaccine is tested against another vaccine or a combination of vaccines or an adjuvant, like
aluminum.
But
there's never the non-vaccinated
control. And we never can have the unvaccinated controls, because they already know what the study would show, that these vaccines are not safe, that they cause harm, they cause injuries, they cause death, they are not effective. We see that, I don't understand Americans not waking up to this. Almost daily there's an outbreak. Now, let's talk about a real outbreak, a few cases of measles versus 7,500 kids a month being diagnosed with autism in our country. But we focus on the, you know, one case of measles in Nevada County, California last year, that's an outbreak. And this is just, vaccines are experimental medicine. And even if they weren't, the Nuremberg Code from 1947, which two Americans helped to write, was supposed to prevent and forever avoid forced medicine of any form, including experimental medicine. And vaccines most certainly fall into the category of experimental medicine, and your children are the guinea pigs. And I wish Americans would realize that very quickly, because every second of every day we have children being harmed, both here in the US and worldwide. And the 1947 Nuremberg Code should have done something else that would have been critically important. It should have overturned the 1905 Jacobson versus the state of Massachusetts decision. That was the beginning of forced experimental medicine in our country. A man, Mr. Jacobson, did not want to get the smallpox vaccine, which was mandated in the state of Massachusetts in 1905 for adults. And he didn't want to get it because he'd already seen vaccine injury in his own family twice. So he was like, I do not want that smallpox vaccine. So he was ordered to pay a $5 fee in lieu of receiving the smallpox vaccine. Right there, that was the start. That is what many of the court cases today will go back and cite, the 1905 Jacobson versus Massachusetts decision. A $5 fee for an adult to avoid one vaccine. Now, that decision was erroneous, and I can't believe it hasn't been overturned because there should be no forced medicine. But the 1947 Nuremberg Code should most certainly have nullified and made void the 1905 decision. And we've had subsequent treaties that we've signed. The 2005 UNESCO agreement, again, upholds the right of prior voluntary and informed consent prior to any medical intervention, and that includes vaccinations. Vaccinations are, should, why they have put been put into some special category as though they're holy water when they are some of the most unholiest things on the planet, I don't know. They shouldn't be there. And that number that continues to be mandated continues to grow. You know, and I know that there are hundreds of vaccines in the pipeline. And some things that aren't even really vaccines are now going to be labeled as vaccines because then they get to fall under that liability-free clause from the 1986 Act, which needs to be repealed. We need three things to happen immediately in our country. We need vaccine mandates to be banned in all 50 states. Medicine should never be mandated. We learned that during World War II, and we have the Nuremberg Code to ensure that that never happens again, and we are a signer. We need to fully restore individual and parental rights to make any and all medical decisions for oneself or one's children. And we also need to immediately repeal the 1986 Act. As I said, an act that never should have happened. What should have happened on that day is a complete moratorium on vaccinations until we got to the bottom of why so many were being harmed and killed by them. Mm-hmm. Common sense. We've lost common sense. We've lost the ethical practice of medicine in our country. The gold standard of ethical medicine is that of prior, free, and informed consent. And in the case of vaccines, there can't even be informed consent. As you and I have already discussed, there have been no proper safety studies and no comparison studies. So any doctor offering informed consent is really doing nothing more than either parroting pharmaceutical companies, the CDC, or offering their personal opinion. It is my opinion that no doctor can give or receive informed consent regarding vaccinations at this point in time. So, and there's a great saying, you know, if we don't, Mary Holland, attorney who fights for the fundamental human right to say yes or no to any and all medical treatments and procedures, including vaccinations, if we do not have the right to decide what we do or don't allow in our body, especially when that which we're talking about has been declared unavoidably unsafe by the United States Supreme Court in 2011, which means inherently dangerous. When we don't have the right to decide whether or not we want to allow 70 plus dangerous, inherently dangerous products into our children or ourselves, then what meaningful rights do we have left? Mm. We don't. If we can't make that good most point. Important decision, what we allow or don't allow in our bodies, we don't have any meaningful rights left.
Which is one of the reasons that one of the founders, Benjamin Rush, said that medical freedom should have been written into the Constitution.
Absolutely, and the older I get, the more I understand that, and hopefully it's not too late.
It's not.
I'm hoping that, you know, Americans will wake up. The powers that be seem to gain in strength every day, but we need to combine our numbers and fight back.
Yeah, we're gaining in strength every day too, though.
Well, it's because of people like you making movies like this that are going to educate millions, both here in the U.S. and worldwide.
Well, Laura, thank you so much. I appreciate the kind words, and thank you for what you're doing, because we're all part of the same team that's just trying to bring awareness and you know, maybe let other people have a little bit more knowledge than they had before, so they can make a better decision, and maybe less kids are going to be harmed. Maybe less adults are going to be harmed. Maybe less families will be torn apart from this vaccine damage that is becoming just so pervasive now.
Yeah, vaccine injury is not rare. It's real. And no society can call itself free or moral when it has forced medicine. So if the United States of America is going to continue to have and enforce vaccine mandates, then we are neither free nor moral. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact.
Well said. Laura, thank you so much for a great interview.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. God bless
mm-hmm.
you.
Thank you.